the women here? Who's been to the four her conferences where Rachel's preached? Yeah, okay, so you know what you're in for. And I'd never met Rachel before yesterday. And you know, sometimes you have that connection where you meet someone and within 2 minutes you're best mates. Well, that's what's happened with me and Rachel. We're best buds now. Earlier in the early before you all arrived, Rachel said, "I think I found my people because you're like the Energizer Bunny." And she said, "That's me." So we've really connected. But you know, I firmly believe that when you receive not just the person but the gift they carry, it allows that gift to flow. And Rachel is a brilliant woman. You're going to see that in a moment. But she's a gift. She's a gift to the church. She empowers people. She brings challenge. You'll feel encouraged. And let's receive her in that. So, church, can you stand up and give a massive Equippers Essex welcome to Pastor Rachel Morstan?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Stay standing just for a moment. It's such an honor to preach God's word at all times. But I never, ever take it for granted. And I always pray, Jesus, let Rachel decrease, that you would increase and speak to every heart. But it's a double privilege to be here at Equippers in Essex. I had the privilege of, like your pastor said, speaking in Surrey. But I feel like this is a really well-kept secret. It's not a secret anymore because I'm here. But I love the life that is here. I love the embrace. I love the family feel. And God is doing something unique and strengthening those important values of life and the generations and the welcome and the family feel, because he's getting you ready to springboard, to launch into something incredible where people are going to be part of that and they're going to love it. And it'll still stay feeling family and home, but it's going to expand. So are you ready for expansion? And are you ready for expansion within as well? And I had a word that I was getting ready to preach, because it's been my motto for this year is the word declaration, to take you above and beyond. But then I just felt God speak to me so clearly this week about a different direction for you, especially for you guys. So are you ready? It's about stirring up the gift that is within, because I believe he's getting you ready for something new and something incredible. So thank you for inviting me. You have incredible pastors that not only love you dearly, but they are, like he said, he's the Energizer. They're both the Energizer Bunny. They call me that in Norwich. So I do really feel like I've found like-minded. And some of you might feel like, that's not really. It's not. I'll just watch and check it all out. And because we're British, aren't we? We we're a bit reserved at times. But God needs all of us together. But I really feel like we've made a heart connection in your beautiful family. And thank you for leading with strength and life. And thank you for saying yes to the call of God for those 20 years and having an incredible team, which I had the privilege of speaking into last night. Got a wonderful team, a wonderful strength in reaching out to Essex, reaching out to Colchester and beyond. I know it's the oldest city in the country. You guys, pioneers. You're pioneers. In fact, I was out walking this morning and I felt that God showed me a picture of you guys. You were walking through this harvest field and you had a threshing implement, what are they called? And you were scythe and you were cutting a pathway, and behind you was like hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And you were saying, come on, it's this way. Come on, because the harvest was so vast. Nobody kind of knew where to go, and they were kind of like scattered. And you took the scythe, and you were like cutting this new path right across these fields, and everyone was following. And then you got to the end, and there was this little barn, and you were putting it all in the barn, and it was lovely, and it was a barn that everyone was used to. But then I looked, and I saw, and it started to get dark by this time, and I saw the lights, and it was this huge barn that was floodlit. And you were like, hey, we've got more space. We've got space to fit all the harvest. And you were all going in there to fill this massive floodlit barn. It's modern. But I believe that God was showing me something of the future. You're cutting new ground. You're bringing the harvest. You're about people. But he's going to help you house that. The harvest is plentiful. And the Bible says the laborers are few, but I believe you're ready to be. Are you ready to be laborers in the harvest and be part of what God is doing on the earth? We've heard about Ukraine. We've heard about what's happening over in the Middle East. And God is the one that is bringing it all together. He's got this incredible world in his hands. And he's got your life, your family, you as an individual in his hands. So I'm going to bring, with God's help, the word from his heart through my heart to your heart. I don't know what's going on in all of your hearts, but Holy Spirit does. And he can divide this word up hundreds of ways uniquely to what you need. Whether you're one of our incredible and crazy young people, or whether you've just started coming, or maybe you've been here for many years, God has a word especially for you. So can you put your hand on your heart? Because that's where I'm really praying that we can, with the Spirit of God, really touch and stir up something in you and your heart. So, Lord, I pray for every heart. Lord, every heart that needs a fresh injection of life and wind, and every heart that's maybe been broken, that needs courage, every heart, Lord, that needs to draw closer to you. I pray you'd stir up something afresh in every heart, because your word says that your word, your Bible is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And this word, may it be words that you speak, it separates bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And your word says it's a discerner, or it helps interpret the motives of our heart and sorts out what's going on, because sometimes we don't even understand, but Father, you know and you understand. So speak, Lord, we are listening. Just say out loud, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Nudge someone as you sit down and say, hey, you ready? This word is for you. Get ready. So it's a privilege to be here. Just a little mini bit about, just to introduce myself. So I'm married to Steve. We met at a youth camp when I was 12 and he was 13. My parents used to run a youth camp many years ago. My grandfather pioneered the church that we are now part of, Soul Church. He pioneered that almost 60 years ago. Next year will be 60 years. And then my dad pastored, and 10 years ago handed it over to our lifelong friends, Pastors John and Chantel. We were in Australia at the time. We've been in Australia for 15 years. Pastoring, and we came back to the promised land. God called us back to our beloved UK 5 years ago, and we're based at Soul Church. God is doing something incredible in Soul Church. As we say, it's all about souls, and every week we see souls saved. And I said to my parents, they were 70 when they handed on, just before 70, handed on the church, and they, we believed that he would see more souls saved in these years than he has through his entire ministry, and already has. He already has. There's thousands of people over the last 5 years just coming to know Jesus and coming in into the building through. We did a Christmas presentation called The Wonder, where we literally had 8,000-9,000 last year. We had 14 different sessions, shows where people could come for a free show. It's our gift to our city. And people are coming to know Jesus. And the incredible thing, we have our impact offering, which is your impact offering. We call it Heart for the House. And we needed a miracle, because we're building a new building. 16 years our building burnt down. But how many know through disappointment, through ashes, God can bring beauty and he can restore. And it's a miracle. And I'm telling you, if God can do it in Norwich, he can do it anywhere. They used to say Norwich is the place for the preacher's graveyard. It's tried to build churches that would get beyond a certain amount and just wouldn't go beyond that. But God is doing something incredible. And Emily just whispered to me, they're announcing the amount, and we've well and truly covered our amount. We needed another 1.5 million to get over the last hurdle for a building that was initially 6 million that's gone up to something like 12. And it's incredible, because we don't have rich people in our church. We just have generous people and friends that are generous. And God can do it, and it's actually incredibly miraculous. So I want to encourage you to keep believing and enlarging your faith. I got off topic. I was introducing my family. So I'm married to Steve. We've been married for 30 years. I don't know if we have a picture up on the screen. That's Steve. That was us speaking over in the States earlier this year. And we had a little holiday as well. Melody's 23 and Mercy's 18. And they both are Both involved in church. Melody's the worship pastor at our church in Norwich, and Mercy's in a gap year at the minute, but studying on our leadership academy. Loves all things fashion, and they're incredible. I love my family. I'm sure you love yours. And you know what? It can look very ideal up there, but there are times when it really isn't. You know, does anyone have their moments with their family? Thank God we serve a God that it enables us to be real as well as the ideal. But I want to, have you ever had a moment where you felt like the wind has been knocked out of your sails? Have you ever had a moment where you've been looking forward to something and believing for something and felt like you had a word for something and it didn't happen the way you thought? I remember going back 8 years ago, I was looking forward to something. I was standing on God's word. I was believing for something and it didn't happen. And I remember the feeling of disappointment, like the floor just fell out from under me. And at the time, we're living in Australia and I'm thinking about the future for us and for our girls and what's going to happen. But I look back on it now and I'm like so thankful that that happened. You know, sometimes it can be a relationship that ends and you look back and think, oh, so thankful I didn't marry that person. But at the time, it's devastating. And this was something that I just couldn't let go of. And it made me step back a little bit. I was still in church and we were pastoring and we were, you know, you can be in the foyers after church and you're having your coffee and you're there, but you're not really there. And I felt like I just retreated. And I remember I had the help from a psychologist friend at the time, and I had some counseling and also with the help of the Holy Spirit to get over a hurdle, because up until then I'd felt like we'd had loss along the way, but this was big. And around about that time, someone said something that I admire via someone else about me. You know, when you're a bit kind of flat anyway, if someone says something, it can really knock the wind out of your sails. And so I kind of retreated from the people that I perceived to have caused the misunderstanding. And I started kind of not using my gifts as much, second guessing myself, because it can happen to all of us, whether you're in ministry or not. We are human. And I remember going away to a conference that I was helping to host. It was a colour conference in Sydney, Australia. Ironically, the conference was called that year Wind in Her Sails. And I got there and I was busy organising. I was overseeing a lot of teams and making it happen. And so in the services, I purposefully wasn't kind of engaging, because I was like, okay, that's fine. That's for everyone else. I'm just going to keep busy. The last night God got my attention. And it was Christine Kane preaching on stirring up the gift within and not allowing offense or words that people have spoken to push to get you off track. And basically I came forward and allowed the Holy Spirit to reignite something in my heart. And it actually did something incredible. It gave me a new boldness and a new confidence and a new assurance of calling. And I went back from that. And actually, with my husband, we talk to that person, that leader. Because sometimes you can have a Holy Spirit encounter, but you then need to act on it. Yeah. Don't act on it when you're in turmoil. Wisdom and emotion don't go together. And I knew that it was ready, it was the right time, and we talked about it. And we actually became a lot closer. That leader was able to apologize, and we were able to sort things. It's 8 years later, but we hadn't seen them because we'd moved back to England for 4 years. Saw them again not so long ago, and again, best of friends. And he said at a gathering not long before we finally made the move for Australia back to England, he said, I'm a better leader because of Rachel Morstan. And I'm not saying that to say, oh, you can get through that and you can be, but God will use disappointment and whatever has knocked the wind out of your sails and made you hold back, he can stir it up afresh again. And some of you, it will be something, you hear that and you think, oh, that's pretty trivial. Some of you have gone through disappointment in people, in relationship, divorce, maybe a diagnosis, maybe something that let you down in the business world, whatever it might be, or something someone said. I want to encourage you this morning to stir up the gift that is within you. Some of you sometimes can feel like you're going through the motions. Sometimes, and this church is full of momentum, which I love, but I believe there are more hands that need to go to that plow, and there is more excitement, and there is more anticipation foundation for the future. And in order to do that, God is stirring up something fresh. And sometimes it takes things to happen in our lives before we really look at, yeah, what is actually going on in me? What is unique to me, to you, to you, to you, to you? So are you ready for God to stir up the gift that is within you? I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm sure you've quoted it often. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. It says, let me just give you the context. It's the Apostle Paul writing this. It's a personal, profound letter written on death row to the Apostle Paul's young protege, Timothy. Timothy was pastoring the early church at that time, and he faced enormous responsibilities, problems and challenges and persecution, and probably similar to what's happening in today's society. And sometimes we need reminding. So the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy. Sometimes we can get carried away with what is urgent and we forget about what's important. And so this is the context. He's saying, this is why I would remind you. Stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that's in you by the laying on of my hands. For, there's a comma there, for God did not give you a spirit of timidity, cowardice, craven, cringing, fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and with self-control. I love that scripture because God is saying here that when you are using your gift, he's going to give you the strength and the confidence to fulfill it. We've probably often quoted, he's not given us a spirit of fear. How many quote that? He's not given me a spirit of fear, but love. Did you remember that it's in the context of using your gift? It's in the context of stirring up the gift that is within. And so the Apostle Paul here is using language that describes bellows. Now, does anybody have these? I'm sure nobody has one in their home anymore. Back in the day, they were used a lot for the fireplaces that used to be in most bedrooms of the old houses. I managed to find this on Facebook Marketplace. So bellows are used to poke and stoke. Basically, you poke a fire. You've all seen a fire, a campfire, a barbecue that lacks luster, and it needs a poke. You need the coals to create space for oxygen to go into that space and ignite with the fuel to cause energy and the heat and the flame. So what happens is you poke, give the fire a poke, and then if you get close enough, there's some air coming out the other end. Yeah, it smells smells lovely and smoky. But I believe what God is wanting to do today is to give you a bit of a poke and a stoke, a poke and a stoke, ready to stir up the unique gift that is within you. And you think, what is the gift? If it's a gift, why do we need to stir it up? Because often the world outside can dim the fire that is on the inside. And what is the gift that is inside? It's twofold. The gift is the Holy Spirit who's within you. And the gift is something unique to you. It's the personality, it's the experiences, it's who you are. It's the Holy Spirit that gives natural gifts. So we're now going to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts that are working through you. So how many are ready? Because you know what? When you are a spirit of God and a spirit of fear cannot coexist. So when you're continually stirring up the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the spirit of fear has to go. And in this day and age, people are more fear-driven than ever before because there's more things to be fearful of and our future and everything that's happening. I feel like this past year, being completely honest, there's been more opportunities for fear to creep into my heart and mind. And I'm a faith person. I'm positive. If I do the Strength Finders tests, you know, the various personality tests, I'm top with positivity. But I noticed that I started to succumb to what was surrounding me because we can easily become like the culture around us and what we're seeing on media. And we've got to be strong to say, God, fill me again with your spirit. Stir up something strong in me. I will not succumb to a spirit of fear, whether it's fear for my family, whether it's fear for my future, whether it's fear for my finances, whether it's fear for my health, whether it's fear for my kids, whether it's fear for my parents, whether it's fear for how we're going to continue to be strong and moving forwards as a church. The Spirit of God is rising above that in each one of you. So are you ready? I'm going to give you four things to take away. First of all, pour out your love for Jesus. They all begin with P, so you can remember. How can we keep stirring it up and staying hot? Keep stirring it up and staying hot. Nudge someone, say, come on, you're hot. Hot stuff. Hot. You're hot. Keep stirring it up. Pour out your love for Jesus. I have the privilege of coaching a lot of young adults, and a few years ago, a young adult who's busy in church, loving church, and she kind of felt like, I'm doing all this for God, but I feel like I need to love him more. How do I know if I love him enough? How do I know if I'm loving him more? Because, you know, we sing it often in church. Years ago, we used to sing a song, the greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to love you more and I serve you more. And she said, how do I know if I'm loving him enough? And I reminded her of a time when I was 18 and I went away to uni. And first time away, I studied physiotherapy and it was up in Teesside Uni. And I remember one particular night, the girls that I lived with, they were none of them were churchgoers. They were wonderful girls, but they had a different lifestyle. And this is my first time where I'm making some choices. Now, I tried to dim down the fire because I wanted to fit in. And I had a fear of missing out. I had major FOMO. And I think it's just insecurities, first time away from home. And I remember trying to fit in. This particular night, they were going out partying, clubbing, and they saying, well, you know, come with us. And I felt strongly that I needed to say no. And I remember going into my room and lying on the bed that night. I can remember it as clear as day. And I poured my heart out to Jesus. And I said, I'm here, I'm away from home, I'm away from family. And Lord, I want to do the right thing, but I feel like I'm missing out. I was feeling nervous about the years ahead. And I had the most incredible encounter with Jesus. I literally felt like a hug, like he filled with love. I had a vision of how much he loved me. And it was like, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about people. Don't worry about boyfriends. Don't worry about finance. Don't worry about fitting in. Don't worry about all of that. Just love me. And I felt so full, incredibly full of love and so secure. You know, when you're in love, you feel like you can do anything. You feel like you can take on the world. I know when I first started dating Steve, I was like, yeah. No matter what happens, then we got married. You feel no matter what happens in the day, I've got him to come back to. He's got my back. But that's how God wants us to feel 10 times more loved and secure. And I remember from that moment, I was able to make decisions that shaped my future, that made the right decisions for those friends to eventually, some of them come to know Jesus. They were able to be at my wedding years later. And I was able to be a light in the darkness without being part of everything that they were doing. So that choice, pouring out my love for Jesus. So I told this young adult this story. And I also said, we are humanly created for response to other humans. We cannot understand agape, God's love that is unconditional. So therefore, we need to ask for his help to love him more. And we need to stir it up inside. And it says in Romans 5, 2-5, it says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by who? By Holy Spirit, who was given to us. So the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We want to make room in our hearts for the Holy Spirit. So every now and again, we need a poke and we need to spread out those embers in our heart to allow more of the Holy Spirit in. It gives us more of his love. We then pour out more of that love on him and love him more. We fan the flame again. We pour out our love for Jesus. We used to sing a song, pour my love on you. And I remember just getting on my knees in our church service one time, just, oh God, I just want to, if you never did anything else for me, and I've got big dreams. I'm a dream girl. I write down dreams all the time, don't I, Emily? I'm encouraged. I've got Emily here from Norwich too. She's one of our young adult leaders. She's incredible. And we talk often about dreams, don't we, and writing down dreams. But I said, God, if you never fulfill another dream, you're enough. And I feel like he wants to say that to us this morning. Fall in love with Jesus again and say, Lord, pour in more love into my heart, Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to give it out, and then ask for more love and then give it out, because he gives you the love uniquely to you, his love for you, that you can then pour out to others. How many want more of the love of Jesus? You know, actually it says in the last days, Matthew 24:12, Jesus said there will be an increase of sin and lawlessness, that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. So he's not talking about people that are out there. He's talking about us that love him, that can grow cold, because we can get distracted and we can get busy with things. And it says grow cold. How many know that those of that are married, your love can grow cold? It's very subtle. It's over a period of time. And we've got to keep stoking that fire. Got to keep having the date nights and the weekends away, stoking the fire. And it's the same with our love for Jesus. Keep those bellows, keep moving in order to pour out your love for Jesus. Personal devotion, and I said this over someone last night, it was Io, personal devotion leads to public promotion. And God is wanting to stir up something new in you guys, because he's getting you ready for public promotion. He's getting you ready that others will see and learn from you, individually and as a church. And so loving Jesus more, being in the secret place, is going to give you that public promotion. Secondly, second P, pursue your spiritual gifts. Remember, we're talking about stirring up the gift of God. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Apostle Paul is saying, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Paul's encouraging us to intentionally pursue the gifts he's giving us. Now, you guys at Equippers, I love that you are very empowering, extremely empowering of others. And I love it. And your pastors are very much like that. I was talking to Ellie, and your PA and your hosts and various other things. You're absolutely brilliant. But she was saying one of the reasons she loves this church is because it's so empowering. And see the gold in her, and they build relationship and enable you to step into your strengths. And by stepping into your strengths, you can actually flourish, and it allows someone else to step into theirs. It's so important. And the Apostle Paul lists a whole lot of things. He says, you know, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about gifts of prophecy, of faith, of speaking, of serving others, generosity, hospitality, encouragement, teaching, leadership, mercy, gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, discernment, healing, miracles. And then there's various forms of all of those. There's something for everyone. And then it says in Romans 12:6, it says, in his grace, God has given each of us different gifts for doing certain things well. So some of you, actually every single one of you, have been given gifts to do something well. What do you do well? What do you do well? What do other people say? You do that really well, and you just think it's normal. I remember someone said to me once, Rachel, you've got the ability to love people on and off the platform. And I remember thinking, oh, that's nice. Everyone does that. And I started to realize not everyone loves people in the same way. And I started seeing it as a gift, as a strength, something that I just thought, that's no big deal. I want to be able to be this woman of faith and power. I don't just want love, you know. But there'll be something that is within each one of you that is unique, unique to you. And getting into that sweet spot, your sweet spot is a combination of your natural gifts, your spiritual gifts, and then the opportunity to use them. And I believe this is an environment where you can step into that sweet spot, but it takes personal responsibility as well, not just people spotting it in you. In fact, the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, do not neglect, in verse 14, the gift that is in you, that special endowment which was directly imparted to you by who? By the Holy Spirit. So Timothy was actually neglecting. You know, he's pastor. But sometimes we can neglect those gifts that are within us because we're so busy with everyone else. Take time to think about, God, I want to use what you've given me. Because that way, our primary calling, which is to Jesus and pouring out our love for him, when it's vocational and we're using our secondary calling, we don't burn out. We keep strong. We keep energetic. We keep full of life because we've got it in the right place. Why do we sometimes neglect the gift? I think sometimes it can be fear. It can be maybe I don't quite know what my gift is. it can be, oh, they've all got the gifts, it's not me. It's, or people mistakenly think it's all about up here. But it's actually like 1% or 2% of church. The real gifts are often out there. They're often what is unseen. But it's essential. It's essential to the church being the church and moving forward and having greater impact. Churches that are very much front-led won't have the same long-term impact as a church that gathers and recognizes, I've got gold. You've got gold in you that needs to come out. Sometimes it can be, and I write about this in my book, and thank you kindly, Pastor Barry, for mentioning that. I write a book called, I've got two books, Soul Time, which is the importance of taking care of your soul. I co-authored that with my daughter, Melody, so it's anyone that's 15, 16, or 50 plus that need to have the time with God. Sometimes we feel like we need a holiday, but it's actually our soul that needs a holiday. And so it's a good one to get over Christmas time. We've only got about 4 or 5 of those left, but I've got more of the Find Your Voice, which is finding who you are, confidence to know who you are, and confidence to know what God has called you uniquely to do, and finding those gifts and aligning your voice with His voice. So I'm passionate about empowering you to fulfill your dreams. And so sometimes the fear of man can hold us back. And I write in there about some of my obstacles. I used to compare myself to Steve is a brilliant preacher. I used to defer to him. I used to hold back often because I was worried about what people would think. I remember one time we were pastoring at the time. My kids were young. I think I thought I was Wonder Woman. You know, superwoman. I was trying to be a super pastor, a super mom, a super wife, and invite all the kids around, and we'd have the parties at house, and I would cook, and they'd go, oh, you're amazing cook. Oh, what amazing birthday cake. Oh, and we need to go to Rachel for the advice and the wisdom in church. And I kind of wore busyness as a badge of honor. And it's actually not attractive. And I finally hit a wall, and I told you about the story at the beginning, the disappointment. And I remember, under the surface, Wonder Woman wasn't quite so wonderful. And I needed help to become vulnerable, to have some real conversations with my family, with my boss at the time. And I learned a new authenticity about using my gifts. Sometimes everything needs to be stripped away, and we recognize our own insecurities in order for the real us to come to the surface and use what He's given us. So I encourage you, remember, these things are fear-based. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind, a well-balanced mind. And in order to stir up that gift that is within us, we can know without a doubt, yep, I'm not going to be fearful because I'm stirring up the gift. So some of you, He's saying, come on, don't wait. Don't wait for opportunity. You start stirring it up now. Start giving it. Start stepping up. So actually put your hands out in front of you right now. You might be taking notes. Just put your hands out in front of you. And just say, Holy Spirit, I give you my personality. I give you my strengths. Just say, I give you my weaknesses. I give you my experiences. I give you those things that I'm good at. Those things you created me for. Oh God, help me to put aside distractions. Feelings of not being good enough, comparison or fear or busyness. And God, I want to use my gifts for you in the workplace, but also here in your house to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know, I found when you're operating in your gift, you are your most healthy. I'm more physically healthy when I'm doing what I love. And I read a book, and I mentioned it last night, The Gift Within You by Dr. Caroline Leaf. She studies the brain and how we function when we're using, our brain is wired for purpose. We're created for purpose. And when you're using your gifts and your strengths and abilities, you'll be at your most healthy. So is this okay for you so far? First of all, pour out your love for Jesus. Secondly, prioritize those gifts or pursue the gifts. And thirdly, be positioned for purpose. Position for purpose. Sometimes that fire will go cold. Why? Because some of the embers have got removed from the center part of the fire. And when you experience change or challenge, sometimes we have a human tendency to retreat and disqualify ourselves. One of the greatest calling moments in the Bible is that of Moses. And he was, you know the story of the Prince of Egypt. And he was raised as an Egyptian, but born a Hebrew slave. And he recognized that he's on the earth for a specific reason. And he tries to take matters into his own hands. And he kills an Egyptian and he flees into the barren desert of Midian. And he's there for 40 years. And he's probably stepping into his, what he thought was a plan B. Neither the Hebrews or the Egyptians wanted him. He felt rejected, but he's going about, he's created a new life for himself. He's become a shepherd. And one day he's out carrying on his day-to-day routine as a shepherd. And all of a sudden God gets his attention. And there's a bush that doesn't burn. Often throughout the word, God uses fire as a symbol of encounter with him. He gets his attention. Sometimes we can feel like we are doing something that maybe is a plan B. Can I encourage you? God always has a plan A. It might not look like it's what you thought was your plan A, but God's ultimate purpose and plan for your life does not change. And he works all things together for good. And so you might be walking along doing what you think. Sometimes you're getting busy, maybe distracted, but God is getting your attention. And what happens is God, the angel of the Lord, appeared to him in Exodus 3 verse 2 in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And the bush was burning with fire, but was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush doesn't burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God then called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I want to point out to you the importance of positioning. Moses is going about his daily routine, doing everything good. He's doing good things. He's a shepherd. He's built a new life for himself. He's married. Everything's going well. And God gets his attention. And it says that it wasn't until Moses turned, looked, that God then spoke. And he said twice his name. Eli, Eli, Becky, Becky, Noah, Noah, Josh, Josh, Sam, Sam, Steve, Steve, whatever your name is, he's saying your name. He's calling today. He's calling you. He's calling you, Dan. He's calling you, Jermaine. You're incredible on the keys, by the way. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. It's an encounter moment. He's got more for you, more in store. And the dreams in your heart, he's got them. And as you're serving and doing an incredible job here, what's in your heart will become a reality. Keep giving him what's in your hand right now. That which is in your heart, you've got big dreams. Keep stirring up the gift and the dreams will become a reality. So he's calling your name. And each of you are saying, I encourage you, you are saying, here I am. Here I am. And sometimes in the middle of distraction, stop, look, and then God will speak. We need to position ourselves. And I heard your pastor, Barry, a couple of weeks ago speaking about the importance of serving. First of all, praying. Then serving, and then sowing, doing our part. It's positioning ourselves in God's house. It's positioning ourselves around like-minded people. You know, it says to stir up the gift within through the laying on of hands. Sometimes it's instead of retreating at times of challenge, it's being here. It's being here no matter what the week has been. It's sitting with someone else and encouraging them. Sometimes when I stand in church and I position myself there, I look around and see other people have positioned themselves there and I know they've had a tough week. I know because we're pastoring a lot of them. Those that have had diagnosis, those that have been in hospital, those whose marriage is a challenge, those who, the business deals fell through, but they're there raising their hands in church. They're positioning themselves in the house of God and it stirs up a flame, a fresh God encounter in me. So what you do when you position yourself with friends in the right place at the right time, it actually stirs up a fire and a flame. It gets these bellows working in your heart. but also in the heart of those beside you. I had an incredible thing that happened to me when I chose to position myself with godly people. So just for 15 years, I've had challenges with my back on and off for many years. And it got worse just over a year ago. You're at 12, 13, 14 months ago now. And I my back was so bad that I couldn't move. So we'd been at a summer barbecue, and I literally had to get one girl, my daughter's, under each arm. It was just over at our pastor's house, and so it's not far from where we live, literally almost carry me home, as my back had just gone that night. And I remember lying on the lounge. Steve had to help me up the stairs, help me to the bathroom. I'm in tears because I'm due to preach and I had to cancel preaching. I'm due to go to a 40th anniversary at a church. I had to cancel that. I had to cancel my friend's wedding because I could not sit or stand for more than 5 minutes. And I remember crying unto God, I'm sick of this. I've had 15 years of this on and off, just every 5 or 6 months coming back. And I was due to go on a trip to America. Our friends had kindly offered to fly us there for a conference. And I knew, because well-meaning people were saying, Rach, you can't do that. But I just knew I needed to position myself. I felt like God could heal me in that room, and I was praying for that, but I felt like I needed to position myself at this conference. I needed to receive. So long story short, I managed to get on a flight that had a spare row at the back, and I was lying across the seats, got there relatively intact. My friend invited me the next day before, the 2 days before the conference was to start, she invited me to her home Bible study women's group. And I'm in this beautiful home. They're influential, godly women. Didn't know any of them. I remember walking in, you know when you're with people you don't really know, you want to be on your best behavior. You can't, it felt a bit like that. It doesn't feel like that here. I felt like, I don't know, there was just something about them all. Maybe it was different culture. But I went in and I just really apologized. I said, look, I can't sit for too long. I'll just go over there and lie down on the carpet in the corner because I've got really bad back. And I talked to them, and they're just so welcoming and warm. During the start of the Bible study, the lady who was hosting it said, this is Rachel, this is Becky's friend from England, and would you like to say hello? Well, I said hello and said I was believing God for a miracle, and I started to cry. And I was so embarrassed because I was crying in front of a room full of strangers, and it was full-on tears. And I didn't wear my waterproof mascara, ladies. So I got a white dress on. Look, it wasn't pretty. And I remember, and I was saying, look, I've just been calling on God. I've got this back problem. And I pretty much hijacked the Bible study because then one of the women got up and said, I believe we need to pray for Rachel right now. And they lay hands on me. So I'm talking about laying hands. Sometimes we need someone to stand with us and agree with us. And they prayed not only for the physical condition, for my back, but they prayed I'd lost my joy internally. I'd been busy, busy, busy giving out, as we do, giving out, giving out. And I was so overwhelmed by their love and their care and their prayer and speaking the name of Jesus. They prayed for my family. They prayed for my husband. And as I cried even more. Cried it all off. I left that place feeling like I can move. I got into the car and I didn't have to go really, really careful to get in and out. I walked around the campus. It was the Gateway conference. I was able to walk around the campus later on that day without any pain. I was able to do the whole conference. I was able to do the jumping and dancing like you guys are doing. I love your life. I was able to do that. I was able to sit through the conference. And I actually got to the end of the conference and realized I'm completely healed. I went back. Flew home the next day, saw my physiotherapist because I'd booked it in thinking I'm going to need this when I get back. And she did all the objective measurements and pokes and realized, wow, your back is better. What has happened? And I said, I had prayer. And she goes, that's interesting. I think she'd been half expecting for me to come back. A whole year later, I've not had any pain. I'm trusting God and believing for continued health and strength. And I've told that story throughout this year. And as I've told the story, people have been healed. because it stirs up faith. I've seen necks and backs. I saw just a couple of weeks ago a lady with a frozen shoulder, and it was a girl on their staff. She hadn't been able to move. She'd waiting for a physio appointment, and I prayed with her, and she had absolute ease and freedom to move. I've seen backs healed. I've seen people healed of nocturnal problems, not being able to sleep at night, being able to sleep. But that's because we position ourselves for purpose. Position yourself where the presence of God is. Position yourself even in a home group around people that can pray for you and encourage you and pick you up, because it brings about the miracles. So first of all, pour out your love for Jesus. Secondly, pursue your gifts. Thirdly, position yourself for purpose. And fourthly, prioritize the Holy Spirit. As the team, if you can come up. And we're going to get ready to pray for you this morning, pray for some people. How can we stir up the gift within us? The gift of the Holy Spirit initially fell on the disciples. You know the story, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting, and they appeared to them divided tongues of fire that sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What I want to point out here is the wind and the fire. It's the bellows again. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit. They were in unity. They positioned themselves. They were there ready in one accord for the Holy Spirit to come. A symbol of wind, a symbol of fire. When Moses brought the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land, they were led by a massive pillar of fire. But we go to the New Testament. God is not content with these big burning bushes or the pillar of fire. He now wants each one of us to have individual fire. It says the flame sat on each one of them. And what I love about that as well, they were all filled. Have you ever been in a service where people have been prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's kind of like, oh, didn't happen for me. Didn't happen. I don't know. I'm not sure. I believe we're getting into a day and age where everyone is filled, because it's a gift. It's stirring up the gift within. It's not weird. We've made it weird back over the days growing up. It's as simple as breathing in and breathing out. The gift of Holy Spirit that is enabling you to do what you can't do on your own. To say, come on, sweetheart, come on, mighty man, stir up that gift that is within you. Because Holy Spirit, he's like a flame. The Bible says he's like oil, but he's not oil. He's like fire, but he's not fire. He's like water, but he's not water. He's a person. He's central to our walk as Christians. It's the one thing, he's the one thing that kept me strong from a little girl growing up in church. And I know you guys are the same, filled with the Holy Spirit at a young age. But we've got to keep poking and stoking that fire. Ephesians 5 says to keep being filled. Keep being filled. Because that it, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, fear cannot coexist. Fear goes out. We confidently use the gifts God has given us. And we make a difference. It's attractive. People want something authentic. People want to be drawn to something that is miraculous. And I'm believing for miracles right here, right now, today. Who needs a miracle? Do you know what's the incredible thing is the Holy Spirit does? And I'll leave this last scripture with you. Romans 8, 28. I've quoted it often. All things work together for good to those who love him and called according to his purpose. And many of you heard that scripture and you love that scripture, and we quote it often. But again, it's attached to scripture immediately before. There's a comma. And he's all about the Holy Spirit. So in Romans 8, 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit within us that we're stirring up, the gift of the Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans, and he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And then we know all things work together for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. When you stir up the Spirit of God, it says he makes intercession. So when you don't know how to pray, and you know what? There'll be times when you're not pouring out your love for Jesus because you didn't have time. There'll be times when you're not using the gifts within you. There'll be times when you are not positioning yourself, you're hiding. There'll be times when we don't get it right because we are human. But thank God his Holy Spirit works in our weakness. And he connects our hearts with the heart of the Father. And together it forms a combustion, a flame that ignites, that keeps us strong, that keeps us moving forward, that keeps us together as a church, making a difference for Colchester and our community. Thank God in our weakness, his strength is perfected. Who needs the Holy Spirit? Who needs a miracle? Let's stand together. You know, the one thing I've found, it's one thing to believe for a miracle, but it's another thing to outwork it. Because, you know, there'll be times when a little voice comes into my heart and mind and it's like, oh, that pain's coming back. How many know you've been healed for something and you think, oh, it's coming back? And you've got to keep walking forward in faith, keep stirring up the gift that was in, that is within you. How many need a miracle for healing? I want to see who needs a miracle for healing in your body. Actually, those of you that need a miracle for healing, could you step forward because I want to put my hand on you. I'm believing for a miracle. I also want to know who needs to receive and stir up the gift within of the Holy Spirit. You want a fresh passion of Holy Spirit within you. Come forward, come forward, come right to the front. And we're just going to pray for a couple of moments and then I'm going to hand the service back to Pastor Barry. Just come forward a little bit more. That's it. Take a big step forward. Come on, sweetheart. Come right forward. Come, sir. Come right to the front. Those of you that want to stir up the gift of God, there's been a spirit of fear that has held you back. Comparison and some of the stories that I've told that you can relate to. You, some of you have been so busy doing, but right now you want to encounter Holy Spirit in a fresh new way. Some of our young people, God is stirring up gifts within you and stirring up the Holy Spirit in a new way that you've never known before. And that Holy Spirit gives a new confidence. And I believe God is bringing a new confidence to some of you guys. Those of you that are under 20, just put your hands up right now. I want to pray for you. Put your hands up. That's it. Both hands. Come on, don't be shy. Both hands. In Jesus' name. If you stood near someone that has both hands raised, can you just put your hand on their shoulder? Don't worry, I'm going to pray for you guys in a minute. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray for an impartation of your Spirit. Your word says that from deep within will flow rivers of living water. I pray, God, for an infilling of your Holy Spirit as they stir up the gift that is within. Holy Spirit, come right now. Now I want you to open your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for filling me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling me right now. I'm available for you to speak through me right now. Fill me afresh. Take away all fear. I step out with a new confidence, a new godly confidence. God is giving you a new confidence. Don't rely on ability, personal ability. He's given you confidence and strength in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, fill them up. Our young people are going to get an encounter with God that is going to enable you to go on the next step, the next stage. Right now, I thank you, Lord, Spirit of God. Now, those of you that are at the front, keep praying for the youth that have raised their hands. Those of you at the front that need healing, raise your hand again if you need healing right now. I thank you, God, that by your stripes, we are healed. Your word says to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So right now, I speak your healing power right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you are starting the work and you are able to complete it. Healing for joints, healing for that which is unseen and that which is causing pain and causing tears. I thank you, Lord, for complete healing, for complete breakthrough. You are able in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Should we start singing? I'm going to continue to pray. Those of you that are in your seats, can I encourage you as we sing now about the Holy Spirit to reach out to him and allow him to fill you and meet you right where you are right now. He has something unique for each one in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.